good singing all the way around. What a blessing that is from on high. I'm telling you right now, if you can come, sit, and listen to that. And I sure do hope I don't go to having a running fit and forget about that. I can't put it down fiddle. No, I'm never going to. I don't have that much energy to even walk that far, much less jump. If I do, y'all take a poker and knock me in the head with it, because I'll be ready to leave here in this world. Take your Bible to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 26. In the book of Acts, in chapter number 26. And if you find a place you're able to stand, we'll look. Let's begin with about verse number 20. And we'll start reading there, verse number 20. And the Bible said there in that, but it showed first to them of Damascus and at Jerusalem throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and they went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those things which prophets and Moses, that they should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, that it show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of that word. We do thank you, Lord, how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you for the good singing that we've had and the enjoyment with not only, Lord, the good instruments and the good harmony and the good music that somebody's written and we're able to reap, and the good congregational hymns. Thank you, Lord, for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on, when was it that you did turn to Christ? When was that? See? Now, here's a man by the name of the Apostle Paul. Was a religious man. In fact, he hated Christians. He hated the name of Jesus, and you'll find he hated anybody that was a Christ follower. And Paul the Apostle, here was a man, was Saul of Tarsus at that time. And as a result of that, you'll find that one day, whenever he was on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter number 9, he was on his road there, and he was going to, he had letters from people that were officials, and he was going to go after some more Christians and be able to torment them and torture them and all of that business. And he said over there, chapter 9, and suddenly, buddy, I'm going to tell you, that's how it happens. You know, there's a lot of people in the world we're living tonight claim to have been saved many, many moons, and they don't have a clue how they got saved, when they got saved, where they got saved, the fruit of being saved. God bless all three of you, ameners. And that's a sad deal. I'm going to tell you, there were some other men with the Apostle Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus, and they didn't hear the light, they didn't see the light, and they didn't hear the sound. I'll tell you, they thought it was just trembling in the heavens that were thundering or something like that. Boy, I guarantee you, Paul the Apostle knew exactly what was going on. And he fell down to the earth, the Bible said, and he heard the voice. Remember when you heard the voice from God? And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And boy, I'm going to tell you something. He cried out unto the Lord, and he said, as he did speak unto the Lord, you're going to find out that here's a man that somehow or another is that he was told, he said, it's going to be hard for you to kick against the pricks. And boy, let me tell you right now, that when we were all falling down to the earth, we heard a voice speaking unto me saying, in the Hebrew, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said unto the Lord that spoke to him, who art thou, Lord? I want to tell you something. I know exactly who God is tonight. I know exactly when he got me and he snatched me as a brand from the burning, washed me from my sin, put me into the family of God. I hope you know that as well. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find the Apostle Paul has given his testimony. And you know, you ought to get in the habit every now and again. Sometimes, you know, in church, we have a testimonial service. And, you know, most of the time people are busy looking around. Well, I wonder if anybody's going to give that testimony or not. And directly, there'll be some visitor that hadn't been here in 10 or 15 years. Well, preacher, I guess nobody else. I'd like to say something to the Lord. And then they'll break down and go to crying. And I've had the devil on my back. And Yeah, he probably drove you to church. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find that we ought to be ready every night. You know, Paul the apostle here has given his testimony before governors, before other believers, before unbelievers, and before King Agrippa. Did you know that? You know, it's one thing to be able to get up and go ahead here, and we're laughing and cutting up, and we know each other and all that, and all that business there. We know all about that. But I got to say to you that if you will, please, it's quite another thing than when you were standing before a king. You know, when you're standing before a king, and by the way, there's a lot of officials. You go to your banker, somebody that's a higher official. You go to the highest police officer that you can find in the country. And more than likely, you're dealing with a banker that don't know God. You're dealing with a doctor that don't know God. You're dealing with an officer that don't know God. You're getting the picture. And I mean, you know, I realize that, oh, we're not always trying to jump the gun and all that business there and trying to shove it down somebody's throat. But every now and again, God will just open up a door that others may be able to see Jesus in you and know there's a difference between what you've got and what they've got. A lot of your family, you've got family that you would have never thought that paid as close attention as they do, but they do pay close attention. And whenever they do, then it's not long until they don't like you and they don't like me and they're blaming me for what the Lord's done for you. See? I've got nobody to blame like that. So what I do, since they don't know you, I just go ahead and blame you anyway. Not really. My kinfolks like your kinfolks. When you go to trying to talk to them, especially at a funeral, it's the only time. Now the reality of death is set in. You're going to be able to talk to them about their need for the Lord. And most of the time they'll tell you, now, Dennis, don't you worry about me. I got that settled a long time ago. Really? You must have been having something that was a mock, sinful Lord's Supper because I can smell alcohol on your breath. See what I'm talking about? They've always got some kind of reasoning. Paul the apostle here, as he was talking about, I used to be a sinner. Now he's about to give his testimony, and the very first thing that he does, he's about to tell about the man and time that I was on the road to Damascus, and I had a company going with me, and that I was lost without God, and God showed me I was lost and undone, and he began to testify about he was a sinner. First thing you'll have to do with your testimony, people's going to have to know you once was lost, but now you're found. You were blind, but thank God you can see now. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find is that here's a man that was once against Christ, against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as a result of that, you'll find that he done everything that he could to be able to fight against them and to arrest them. I want to say to you that in the Bible, there's only two kinds of religion. One of them is pure religion, and the other one is vain religion. Pure religion's based on the word of the Lord, and it has a bridle. In the book of James, you can read about that later on, James chapter number 1, verse 26 and 7. But you find that pure religion is religion that comes from God by the word of the Lord. Vain religion absolutely has no concern for anybody but itself. Let me tell you right now, when you begin to look into this Bible, you begin to recognize and know that vain religion has no bridle. That means vain religion has no Bible. That means is that in the day you and I that are living in is that we'll find, that's the reason why we keep hammering the fact, not any version's going to do. God's looking for the unadulterated word of the Lord that he's given us. And let me tell you, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. Now, you're sitting here tonight. I know people. You know people. And I know some people that never go to church. Now, I'm not against those people, but I can tell you this, if they die like they're living, they're going to bust hell wide open. I don't care if it's your mama, your daddy, your aunt, your uncle, your husband, your wife, your son, or your daughter, or who that it is. There is no salvation without the word of the Lord. And when God does save a soul, the first thing they do in testifying is about when they used to be a sinner before God without God. I was thinking about next of all is that he talked about when he heard the Savior. Now here he's talking to this king, and he said, you know, I'm going to let you go ahead and speak for yourself. And Paul said, I think myself happy to be able to speak for myself. You ought to be happy to be able to testify in the name of the Lord because of what God's done. See, this thing of salvation is a personal thing. You know, if I could get saved for you, and several of you that are here, some of these younger ones, if I could get saved for you, I would have already done it. In fact, there's plenty of people in here that if we could get saved for you, but it's going to have to come from you. It's going to have to come from your heart. It's going to have to come from your real experience from God. I'll tell you something, it's not just personal, it's piercing. And I'll tell you what it did was, he begins to tell the king that, and shows that finally it got to me, king. As a result of that, God began to speak to me from heaven. And I'll tell you, when God got my attention on the road, I said, who art thou, Lord? And boy, let me tell you something, he began to learn who he was. I'm Jesus of Nazareth, then thou kickest against the pricks. I want to say that when you begin to look into this lesson here, you're going to find out we're talking about getting saved by the grace of God. Now, in the lesson here that you're looking at, the world's never liked the Bible. It doesn't like it tonight, and it won't like it tomorrow. But I want to tell you, when we got saved by the grace of God, I'll tell you what we did was we had a change that was made in us that others could see. I see a lot of time people up and down the road of life, they're trying to convince themselves and you or me or whoever they're talking with that they're all right already. And they're in church and out of church, they're more out than they are in. And let me tell you right now is you're going to find out that, and we're not talking about providentially hindered either. We're just talking about, you know, they can't be in the house of God on Sunday night, but they can be in Walmart. You see what I'm talking about? Now, that doesn't bother me, but it's going to bother them one day. In the lesson that we're looking at, when you get saved, it's because you saw yourself like God saw you. I'll tell you something else that I know it, is that here's the Apostle Paul, and God's revealed himself to us like he did to him. He granted us repentance like he did to him. He gave us faith like he did to him. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that here's a man that got saved on the road to Damascus. 3 days later, he's about to get baptized. Now, let me tell you something about him. He wasn't like some of the people that we've met up and down the road of life. He wasn't drinking liquor and getting drunk on Monday and preaching on Tuesday. Wasn't that at all. Here's an old boy that was a murderer when he got saved. Let me tell you, it changed his life drastically. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, I want you to turn to a couple of passages. One of them's in Galatians, in the book of Galatians in chapter 1. Just turn to that. We'll see how that's going to work here in a minute. Galatians chapter number 1. And I want to say to you that, if you will, that the Lord adds to the church when people get saved. And not only that, but he puts you into business of trying to go out and witness for the cause of Christ. And let me tell you, he said, we're to go into highways and hedges and this and that and compel people to come into my house, so forth, that my house may be full. Matthew chapter number 22, Luke chapter number 14 will tell you that information. I want to say to you that sanctuary, house of God, church of the living God, is for people that have been saved and added to the church of the living God. I want to say to you that in the sovereignty of God, in Galatians chapter number 1, look in verse 14, and of Galatians chapter number 1 and verse 14. And the Bible says that here the Apostle Paul's talking. And he said, now profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals and in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I want to tell you something, is that God done something real. Look in verse 18. And then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. All right, chapter 2, verse 1. And then 14 years. Now, I hope you're keeping up with it. is that 3 days after that he was contacted by the Lord on the road to Damascus, he got baptized. Verse number 18 that we've read here in Galatians, 3 years later after he went and saw Simon Peter and so forth. Then in chapter number 2, and then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and I took Titus with me, so forth and on. Now, the reason why I've read that to you, we've got a record here of 3 years, and we've got a record here of 14 years. Now, how does that help us? I'm glad you asked it. That helps us because of the fact that after all those years, buddy, he was still saved and still preaching the same message of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. However long you've been saved, some of you have been saved a long time. God hadn't changed yet. I want to say in closing that, if you will, is that in Acts 26, verse 22 that we've read, he said, the small and the great. Listen, I don't care if you're a janitor working at a place. I don't care if you're an executor somewhere, if you're a head of a company, or how high standing you may have. I don't care how much that a person may or may not be responsible for. Small and great alike have to come the same way. Now, you know, every now and again, you're going to be dealing with somebody in life, and we're such, you know, little peons, they don't pay any attention to us. But I want to tell you, the message of God is going to be the same. And I don't care how small they are, they'll have to get saved the same way you and I did. I don't care how large they may be, how great they may be in men's eyes, they've got to get saved the same message, the same Savior, the same way that you and I got in. Did you notice, is that those men that traveled with Paul the apostle, they didn't get in? I don't know if they ever got in, but they didn't get in on this. Do you realize, where was that? At the pool of Bethesda, and the Lord walked up, and there was a multitude of folks there that were waiting for the stirring of the water. Remember that? And Jesus went up and walked up to one man. One like modern day religion that we've got. It wasn't like, hey, y'all see this man here that just got saved and that was crippled and now he's made whole and y'all all line up. Jesus walked up there to one man. See, in the day we live in, and I'm not trying to beat anybody up, but I'm just saying to you, we're so excited about doing our work, and then we're excited about trying to do God's work. And boy, don't we make a mess when we try it. Here's what I've learned down through the years. I've seen people, you know, that on Saturday they're talking, or Sunday morning they're talking religion out of both sides of their mouth. And on Monday morning they're taking God's name in vain because things wasn't working right on the job. See what I'm talking about? Let me say to you that, if you will, as I preach unto you tonight, and God has been maybe knocking on your heart in days gone by, young man, young lady, sir, ma'am, do you realize that, oh, you can't ignore it? But you won't get saved until you acknowledge who he is, until you acknowledge what he's done. You can ignore it, but you won't leave this world saved by any means, because the only one way and the only one name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved is that name that's above every name, and that is the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Is he your Lord and Savior tonight? Well, he can be. If he's not, he can be. See? But if you leave this world without the Lord, he won't be your Lord and Savior, neither will you be afforded the luxury, the opportunity of it. But what you will find, he will then become your judge. See? And one of the things you'll be judged for all the times you put it off, said no to God, I think I'm just going to wait. See? I wonder tonight where you stand with the Lord as we stand to our feet and as we get ready to dismiss from here this very evening. Now, Father, we thank you for the good singing. We thank you for the good word of the Lord. We thank you for the Spirit of God to lead us, guide us, direct us therein. I pray you'd go with us to our homes. If there's one that's lost in our midst that needs the Lord, who has not yet committed their life and soul unto thee, May you trouble them until they get on their knees beside their bed and do business with God. We want to say thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen.